In securing any facts necessary to ascertain the information herein required, the applicant shall be required to sign a written affidavit containing answers to such inquiries as may be material. End of the quote. Now, these provisions cannot apply to a communist. He will follow whatever rules or regulations are set up by whatever devious kind of thinking he indulges in order to get the position he wants. Who then does such a procedure catch? It catches the unusual person. It catches the individual whose political thinking doesn't fit the pattern of the moment. In effect, then, instead of excluding the communist who will not allow himself to be excluded, it does set up a test of thought, a test of political action, a test of political ideas, other than communism, for persons seeking public employment. And the exclusion of people from public employment of this kind because of political thinking is un-American. It is indefensible. It contravenes all the great things that America stands for. While admitting the communist to office because he has no scruples, it keeps out the person who does have scruples. If we were at war, could an honest pacifist be employed in public office in Illinois, or would that be subversive? Could a person be employed who believed in socialized medicine, or would that be subversive? What ideas are going to be approved, and what disapproved? Well, clearly there won't be much uniformity here, for every person and every board, every commission and every council, every department and every court, and every other agency of the state of Illinois or any political subdivision thereof establishes its own rules and regulations and procedures. This encourages a variety of witch hunting with a vengeance. It can make it impossible for anyone to get or to keep a job whose thinking does not fit into that of his immediate superior or with the employing board. And this kind of uniformity of thinking, a uniformity enforced by the boss, is un-American. And what about those who are empowered to make these rules and regulations? Surely the advocates of Senate Bill 102 must have in mind some need for the super rules to govern these people, or are they above all suspicion? It reminds me, you know, of a song that I learned as a boy, "Who takes care of the caretaker's daughter when the caretaker's busy taking care?" But the bill is un-American in another respect. It sets up a single individual, a special assistant to the Attorney General, who shall maintain complete records of all information received by him and all that is handled by him under the requirements of this act. These records, of course, shall not be made public or divulged to any person, except with the permission of the Attorney General to effectuate the purposes of the act. Here the bill proposes the beginning of the thought-controlled police. An official government agency is to collect anything that anybody wants to write about his neighbor. Official documentation of gossip, vilification, and unfriendliness is proposed. And the material can be released whenever the Attorney General thinks it will help to effectuate the purposes of this act. No one will know what is in his own file. He will be accused in secret. He cannot reply to charges of which he is ignorant. He will not know when unknown and untrue charges will be made public. True, he can talk about it then, but only after the stuff has been piled up in his secret file. This smacks of the record-keeping that was so familiar in Moscow and in Hitler Germany, rather than of what we know in this country. One of our great founding fathers foresaw the difficulties which lie before us and dealt with this issue. Thomas Jefferson said, "Reason and free inquiry are the only effectual agents against error. They will support the true religion by bringing every false one to their tribunal, to the test of their investigation. They are the natural enemies of error and of error only. Had not the Roman government permitted free inquiry, Christianity could never have been introduced. Had not free inquiry been indulged in the era of the Reformation, the corruptions of Christianity could not have been purged away. Should we restrain it now, the present corruptions will be protected and new ones encouraged. It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. Subject opinion to coercion, and whom will you make your inquisitors? Fallible men, men governed by bad passions, by private as well as public reasons, and why subject it to coercion? To produce uniformity. But is uniformity of opinion desirable? No more than a faith in statute. Introduce the bed of Procrustes, and there is danger that the large men may beat the small and make all of us a size by lopping the former and stretching the latter. Difference of opinion is advantageous. End of the quotation from Jefferson. In summary, then, I oppose the passage of Senate Bill 102 because it weakens our republic rather than strengthens it, because it subverts the principles on which our country was established, because it is inefficient in controlling the evils of communism, and because it is un-American.
Hear from the second speaker for the affirmative, Norval Hodges.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I can't possibly start my comments before I point out that insofar as the reports of the grand jury are concerned, the bill says, any grand jury charged with the court as provided herein shall not later than the conclusion of its term of service prepare a written report separate from all other matters considered by said grand jury of its findings upon the subjects placed before it under the requirements of this act, provided, however, such report shall not charge any resident of this state with being disloyal unless they have been indicted under the provisions of this act or other provisions of the criminal law of this or some other jurisdiction, end quote, which obviously means the accused have an opportunity to be heard. Dean Spaulding has misinterpreted that section of the bill. You've heard Senator Briles explain in detail Senate Bill 102 as amended. I hope to devote the major portion of my time to Section 14 of this bill, which section is particularly important to educational centers such as Champaign-Urbana, and which section is also highly controversial, and I might add, is a companion section to Section 11 concerning which the dean spoke. Briefly, Section 14 provides that, and I quote, reasonable grounds on all the evidence to believe that any person is a subversive person, as defined in this act, shall be cause for discharge from any position in the government of the state of Illinois or any subdivision or agency thereof. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the most strenuous objectors to this section condemn that reasonable grounds to believe a person is subversive ought not to be sufficient grounds for discharge. As a matter of fact, most of the objectors contend that membership in the Communist Party of the United States ought not to be sufficient grounds for discharge. I'm quite sure that many of you folks here tonight can be discharged from your present employment whenever your employer decides that your services are unwarranted. However, most of us know that the state of Illinois and the University of Illinois has created, through our state legislature, civil service systems. We also know that the laws creating those systems set forth in detail the only reasons for which civil service employees can be discharged. The fundamental reason civil service laws exist is to avoid a complete turnover of personnel whenever you have a change of political parties in power. I assure you those laws, those civil service laws enacted by our state legislature never were designed to protect and to prevent the discharge of individuals who engage in activities to aid the enemy of this nation. In order that I might do the very best possible job of considering this bill, and you might have the very best opportunity to consider what it relates to, I think we ought to examine the structure and the objectives of the Communist Party and of the various organizations created and maintained for the sole purpose of aiding the Communist Party. I've heard many witnesses testify against this bill and against other bills similar in nature. Almost without exception, those witnesses have said to you, as I say to you, we are opposed to communism in every form. Occasionally, members of the Communist Party show up to oppose this type of legislation. They tell us that the veterans' organizations represent more of a threat to our form of government than the Communist Party. Other witnesses against this type of legislation usually include conscientious objectors to military service, communist front officers, pacifists who believe we should never resist an invasion by armed invaders, and of course, I make room, and you make room, for a sprinkling of good, honest American citizens who oppose this type of legislation on its principles. However, of this latter group, we quite often find they haven't read the bill. It does seem to me to be significant that you never find a communist, you never find an officer of a commie front organization, you never find a pacifist, and you never find a conscientious objector testifying for the bill. All of them are always and all the time against it. That, to me, means something. Let us look at what our leaders say about communist movements. The Subcommittee on Legislation of the Committee on Un-American Activities of our Congress says the communist movement is, in fact, a worldwide revolutionary political movement whose purpose is by treachery, deceit, infiltration, espionage, sabotage, terrorism, and any other means, legal or illegal, to establish a communist totalitarian dictatorship in the United States and all other countries of the world, which will be subservient to the master conspirators in Moscow.